I want to tell you an odd story. This is a very strange story. There are many legendary stories about ministers who die in their pulpits. I remember a friend of mine was negotiating with First Parish Church in Dorchester, the oldest church in Boston. It's older than the First Church in Boston, but that's a different story. But the First Church in Dorchester, she said, "So can you tell me about your retirement plan?" And they drove her by the old North Burial Ground. And they said, going back to 1630, they had a long history of ministers not retiring, just taking up residency. But the craziest minister dying in pulpit story is from Lubeck, Maine. Now, Lubeck is a funny congregation. This is a little Disciples of Christ church where when another minister was inquiring about benefits, and they said, "Well, as for health care, we just ask you to please live in Campobello, where they have a national health care system in Canada." That's how they took care of that one. Excuse me. But there was a pastor who served there for a very long time. And at the very end of his tenure, he was reading from the Bible. And he got confused. He lost his place and turned a page and looked up and said, "Happiness," and dropped dead. Now there's a kicker. Do you know what the pastor's name was? It was Reverend Maybe. Maybe. There you go. Happiness. What is happiness? Here's a story. This week, Washington, D.C., big demonstration. Demonstration for comprehensive immigration reform, and especially including a clear path to citizenship. It was a magnificent place to be. And when I talked with a few folk about how they felt, they said, happy. Publicly, with their friends, with tens of thousands of friends, the word that they had for the day was happy. Or felicidad, depending upon what we were talking with each other. Happiness was the rule of the day. UUs for Social Justice in the Capital Region were there. Standing on the Side of Love was there. Davita Fitzgerald was there. Bridge, as an ally of Casa de Maryland, was there. And we were exercising happiness. Oh, we were there for prophecy, of course. We were there for protest, yes. We were there for prayers and songs and even sermons, of course. But what was this about? Happiness. Happiness. So what does it mean to be happy? Hannah Arendt was the philosopher who spoke most about the meaning of public happiness, a shared happiness that emerges out of the fullness of what it means to be human, what it means to live a fully human life. She talked about three activities that comprise the fully human life, the vita activa. The first activity is just labor. And the thing about labor is that labor is absolutely necessary. And there are some who would say that philosophically this is the animal part of who we are. There's just a certain amount of labor that has to go into life to be able to sustain ourselves. It's not optional. You're not making a choice. You have to do it or you die. So labor is one piece of the vita activa. But the second part is a place where it's not just labor. It's work. It's the work that we choose, the work that allows us to give meaning to our lives. So that's the second piece, and it is a possibility within the work that personally you might be happy. You might find personal happiness in doing the work that you choose. But the third facet of the fully developed human life is called action. Now, action is not a bunch of activities. Action is the collective conversation, the collective clarification of many people who have figured out what their work is. If you know what your work is, and I know what my work is, we might be talking to each other about that, and that conversation leads to a richer sense of what our life together might be, and might lead, is in itself action, and might lead to further action. But it's collective, it's shared, and it results in the possibility of public happiness. That's what a fully developed human life might be. Now, interestingly, we don't really control the labor piece. And in some ways, my friend Charlie King would call that not labor, but he'd call it your job. Because Charlie used to sing a song, our life is more than our work, and our work is more than our job. Oh, our life is more than our work, and our work is more than our jobs. This week, when we received this commendation from the Joseph Priestley District, the group of 50-some congregations in this area, of which we are one, it wasn't for just doing our job, right? Our job is something we got to do. That basic labor is something we got to do to live. If we don't do our job, the church dies. And you don't get a commendation in this system for preventing the church from dying. And it's more than just us doing our work. Because as a congregation, we have been picking up our work. As a congregation, we've been discerning what it is we want to do and be in the world. And so doing our work is a great thing, but we didn't get that piece of paper for that. We got our piece of paper because we chose to share our work with somebody else, that our congregations came together and talked about what it is that we're doing to make meaning out of being Unitarian Universalists. Our life is more than our work. Our work is more than our jobs. We proclaimed somehow that we have a life together, that we have, in Arendt's terms, an action together in our fully developed life. We chose to take action beyond labor, beyond our work. We chose to take action because we worshiped together and studied together and broke bread together and held each other accountable for goals together. And the essential tool for action is language. We found a way of communicating with each other. We made a way of becoming a community of intention. We stated our intention. We enacted our intention. And this process of conversation and commitment and the deeds performed in fulfillment of declared intention is at the core of this notion of public happiness. That's a little intuitive, I think. In the midst of the action, I feel we were satisfied. Not that we didn't disagree. Not that we didn't sometimes fail. Not that we were able to take everything back from those sessions and to bring them into the membership committee, to bring them into the core staff, to produce the exact results we expected. But there was something satisfying about picking up this shared work. And it made us, or at least it made me, want to continue to engage. So public happiness makes you want to continue to be happy, makes you want to continue to act boldly and compassionately and with friends on either side. Now, public happiness isn't something that's easily made and not newly made. I'm going to read a little bit from a leading Unitarian of another age, a man named John Adams. You may have heard of him. And he wrote the following as the basis for public happiness. It's a long one. Stay with me. Wisdom and knowledge, as well as virtue, diffused generally among the body of the people, being necessary for the preservation of their rights and liberties. And as these depend on spreading the opportunities and advantages of education in the various parts of the country and among the different orders of people, it shall be the duty of legislatures and magistrates in the all future periods of this commonwealth to cherish the interests of literature and the sciences and the seminaries of them, especially the university, the public schools, the grammar schools, and the towns, to encourage private societies and public institutions, rewards and immunities, for the promotion of agriculture, arts, science, commerce, trades, manufactures, and the natural history of the country, to countenance and inculcate the principles of humanity and general benevolence, public and private charity, industry and frugality, honesty and punctuality in their dealings, sincerity and good humor, and all social affections and generous sentiments among the people. Adams was expressing in a very political document, this is the Constitution of Massachusetts, expressed that the Republic was being established among diverse states that could express a public good and promote public happiness. Part of who we are as a nation is that we say we want to be about people feeling purposeful and happy about the endeavors that they've chosen. Adams takes up the challenge of our work, the development of personal virtue, and the broad inculcation of republican values, that is, the values of a self-governing republic. The movement of his ideas out of his own convictions and into the public arena to spark the ideas of other people, to be shaped by the debate in the creation of the Constitution, to be turned by other people's convictions on his heart, to be adopted or rejected by people, and to create a system whereby everyone is educated in public discourse. This movement is a movement to action. This movement is a movement to happiness, public happiness of a people, an expression of a communal vita activa. Beginning this week, we will indeed be studying together in a series of sessions discussing Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in an Age of Color Blindness. Unitarian Universalists throughout the country have been reading this book together. Our own Adult Religious Education Committee and our Social Action Clearinghouse and our book group have already had sessions talking about the book and being moved by it. Those actions led to the next action, this extended study that we'll be doing in the next 2 months. a study together in the context of being a community pledged to a ministry, to people who are in poverty and people who are in homelessness. A feature of action must be noted. The outcome cannot be assured in advance. The outcome cannot be contained. Action, the shared public conversation, the shared public expectations and deeds will result in many actions beyond the ones of the ones who are planning it. Arendt argues that there is no humanity that takes action. There are just humans that take action. And so we can't say that there's just one way of being that's going to be moving forward. It's a myriad way of being, except under totalitarianism, and that's another story. But in a free society like ours, like the one we say we want to be and build, the actions that are proposed by any of us may get diverted in lots of ways. And we hope that there will be a public outcome that leads to happiness. One demonstration in Washington, yes, much public happiness, yes. But from one, it is the struggle to act for self and family. For another, it's the challenge that their nonprofit organization can act responsibly around the goals of a path toward citizenship. For another, there's a legislator who's finding public happiness in this struggle by being able best to represent her constituents. All involved in action, all part of this public happiness, and yet each finding their way along the vita activa, some of which we share, and some of which is left to each of us to live a full human life. So this leaves us with a question. Church, what do we desire? How shall our own vita activa be lived? What are the ways that we will build action into our lives, not the doing of an endless list of tasks, an endless supply of activities, but the creation of a shared and happy sense of vita activa together? How will we successfully not just labor and not just pick up meaningful individual work, but happily act with one another out of a sense of purposeful engagement? I hope we will study together. I hope we will share together. I hope we will break bread together and care together. I hope that we will act in the world together, and that we will worship together and begin in the midst of it all to express our deepest and most satisfying convictions. I hope that we will become the center for the fullest development of liberal religion. That is our core task. I hope that we will find ways to interpret our impressive history and use it to inspire action today and into a future that we are building. And I hope that we will become a powerful cathedral of truth, demonstrating democratic power, speaking truth to power, and all of us engaged in the pursuit of public happiness. I hope that then we may know sincerity and good humor and all social affections and generous sentiments, that they might dwell among all these people. Blessed be.